This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. In our last study, we were looking there to how the Lord saved a sinner, but we want to get back to our study on the Revelation. We're in the 12th chapter of Revelation now. In our last study there, in the 11th chapter, we saw the triumph of the two witnesses who were raised from the dead and carried to heaven. And we were given a summary of what would take place in the closing of the tribulation period. In chapter 12, we find there's a continuation of chapter 11, and we saw much there, speaking of the great signs and great wonders. The word wonder means a sign. The Holy Spirit makes very plain throughout the entire book of Revelation, which is figurative or symbolic, and also what is literal. I'm amazed. The Old Trailblazer is amazed at teachers and Bible readers and scholars who want to make every statement in the book of Revelation symbolic. No, it's because they do not understand. When you do that, then it's anybody's guess as to what it means, and one guess is good as another. And we came on down there. Now, we're looking at the signs and wonders and those things. Let me call your attention to this great fact. This is not the first time God ever used the sun and the moon and stars for signs to give forth or set forth to mankind his divine will and redemptive program in Christ. I've often wondered, and no doubt maybe you have, how God spoke to the inhabitants of the world and made known unto them his judgment, his program of redemption, that the world would be without excuse. We know that God's judgments are righteous, and we know that unless God has revealed them, judgment would never have been pronounced upon the human race. God never pronounces a judgment upon the human race or any part of it without first warning them of the and then extending mercy. Let's turn back to Romans 1:18 and 20, if you will. If you have your Bible, if you have time there, get your Bible. If not, just listen. That's Romans 1:18 through 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, that they are without excuse. We see here that there was a time when God made known his plan of redemption other than by the written page or the written language. Let me say this. God never been shut out or shut up at any time that he could not speak to man. Look at Romans 1:19. For God has showed it unto them. What did he show unto them? Look at the 20th verse. The invisible things, that is, the things of the spiritual world, having to do with faith and salvation and the destiny of human soul. How did he do that? He said, by their things that are made. Let's look at what he showed the human race. What did he reveal unto them in his sign language? His eternal power and Godhead. Isn't that interesting, my friend, that God, through his sign language, before there was ever a written word, revealed unto men in such clear, distinct way his eternal Godhead, that is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that they are without excuse. He made so clear in the minds and souls of men his redemptive power through his sign language that if they rejected it, they would be without excuse and they must meet God in judgment. How did he communicate his great purposes of redemption? Genesis 1:14 says that the sun and the moon and the stars were his sign. I asked you, how can you deny God? In going back to New Orleans lately, after having been evacuated from down there and going back to check on things, early in the morning as I go across the lake, the sun coming up over the horizon, the most beautiful picture you ever saw, red, blood red ball of fire, easing up over the horizon, the lake there. What a beautiful picture. That's God's creation, my friend. How can you deny that there is a God when you can see the sun coming up? How can you deny there is a God when you see the moon and the stars in the heavens at night, or the cold north wind blowing, the snow falling? My friend, those things are not man-made, and certainly not. How did God preserve that great prophecy of Genesis 3:15 before it was written down? Listen to it. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. There's no doubt to my mind but that he did it with sign language through the sun and the moon and the star. Now let's turn back there in the 19th Psalm and read these first verses. We want to just kind of go back and review some of these things. The scripture says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In that day he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber and rejoicing as a strong man runs a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from him. No, listen now. Now let's behold the sign that God will flash in the heavens and read it. Here it is. This sign, God will flash in the heaven. Here it is, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now these are things, my friend, may be boring to you, but no, don't let it be boring to you. This is God's word. Now, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule over all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. This sign here is a summary of Israel's history. And the general features of this sign in heaven are found in the 37th chapter of Genesis in Joseph's dream. Joseph, a type of Christ, said to his father Jacob one day, behold, I have dreamed a dream. I have dreamed a dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance unto me. Jacob immediately gave the interpretation of the dream in these words, shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves unto thee to the earth? Jacob recognized that his dream here signified the nation of Israel that he was to the head of. All through the Old Testament scriptures, Israel is compared to a woman. In Isaiah 54:1, we find these words saying, O barren, thou whomst did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Then the 5th verse says, for thy maker is thine husband. In the 6th verse he goes on to say, the Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken. Then in Lamentations 1:1, God pictures Israel as a widow in these words. How has she become a widow? The woman here clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and her head a crown of 12 stars, is the nation of Israel. In Genesis 3:15, it was announced that a woman should bear a child that would ultimately bruise the serpent's head. The next sign in heaven that John saw was a great red dragon standing ready to devour the man-child as soon as it was born. So we see the dragon, the old Satan, standing before Israel to devour the child that would one day be the man-child, Christ Jesus, who would bruise his head. I believe one of the main reasons why Satan hates the first 3 chapters of Genesis and of the last 3 chapters of Revelation so intensely is because the first chapters of the Bible pronounce his sentence, and the last chapters of the Bible set forth his execution, or his great judgment day. Now, my friends, I wish you'd ask the Lord to open these verses up to your heart. When you hear anyone making fun or denying the first chapters of Genesis, put it down that he is satanically indwelt and diabolically controlled. When you hear anyone making light or discrediting the book of Revelation, and especially the last chapters, you might know that he's a child of Satan, because it is Satan's business to discredit the Word of God. May I repeat with all the emphasis of my soul that the Bible is the Word of God, whether you believe it or whether anyone believe it. We have a saying here at the Old Trailblazer broadcast. We hold the Bible up in our hand and say, "This is God's Word. Believe it and be saved. Disbelieve it and go to hell." Oh, but listen, may I repeat with all the emphasis of my soul again that the Bible is the Word of God, whether you believe it or whether anyone believe it. God's written language is the revelation of God's redemption to the hearts of man. And if man will not believe God's Word, there's nothing else that God can do or will do for that individual. He'll just have to go to hell for his trouble. Now, my friend, we have people who criticize the Old Trailblazer, criticize the late Pastor Shelton's messages, because we are pungent and to the Word and straightforward, and we don't compromise God's Word with any poor soul, no matter who he is. It might be the highest potentate of the land, might be a bum on the street. We do not compromise God's Word. We call sin, sin. We do, and we're criticized for that. Now, you look around on the scene today, maybe where you go to church. I get letters and emails from folks almost on a weekly basis. "Pastor, I wish our preacher would speak the truth. He brings a soft soap, soft pedal message, and then he talks about the convention that he went to, and he talks about the golf game, and he talks about the coming Christmas cantatas and the Easter cantatas and all of those. He talks about that for about 90% of his message, and then he asks folks to come down to the front and join the church. Join the church. Join his church." I had conducted a funeral service the other day, a memorial service, in a Catholic church. And I made this statement that joining this church, being a member of this church, being a member of the First Baptist Church of Algiers or any other church, has nothing to do with your salvation. All of that is just tommy rot. No, knowing Christ is salvation, my friend. Coming to see that you're a sinner apart from God, knowing that you need and must be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, that's salvation. What is salvation, you say, Pastor? It's a deliverance from sin. The word salvation means deliverance. You're delivered by the power and grace of God from your old wicked, cussed ways. Yes, you're just an old cuss. That's what the Old Trailblazer is, just an old wicked cuss. That's right. Oh, my friend, but the Lord gave me a new heart one day. And that's the secret, giving you a new heart that you can praise the Lord. The old heart can't praise the Lord. No, you can't praise the Lord with that old wicked heart. It just longs after sin, longs after having its own way. You know what most people, the greatest sin most people have, wanting to have their own way? Never take the blame for anything. Never say, "I'm sorry." No, most marriages are busted up because no one ever says, "I'm sorry." Did you know that? Most marriages that separate and fall apart are because one individual would not take the blame and say he was sorry or say she was sorry. No, it's just not there. We've gotten so far away from God's Word that we know nothing. We know nothing except to use our head. Just use your own, whatever you think. That's what the folks do. And that's what our preachers now are leading folks down a primrose path. Join the church, trust Jesus, do the best you can, and you're saved. And these periodicals that we got coming out now, these great old magazines that used to stand for something, they take one of the gracious old men of God and put his sermon on it, and then at the end they write a little excerpt down there about big as a business card, and they say, "Well, did you know that you're a sinner? Did you ask God to save you? Pray this prayer, Jesus, save me, before it's too late," and sign the card and send it back. Now you're saved. Go on to it. That don't even qualify to be talked about, my friend. That's the most absurd, asinine thing I ever heard of. No man will come to the Son except the Father draw him. Have you ever been drawn? This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. Remember my mailing address? The Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana 70174. Goodbye and God bless you.